Wanda Sykes has been called one of the funniest stand-up comics by her peers and ranks among Entertainment Weekly's 25 funniest people in America. Her smart-witted stand-up sent her career in many different directions. Her latest comedy tour is entitled Oh Well, which she will bring to the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston on Friday, October 26th at 7:30 p.m. In addition to her stand-up comedy, Sykes is a writer, producer, and actor with projects including Blackish, Alpha House, Curb Your Enthusiasm, The New Adventures of Old Christine, The Chris Rock Show, and most recently, the reboot of Roseanne. Again, the new comedy tour is Oh Well, which she says sums up where we are in society right now.
That's pretty much how the country, to me, is behaving. Like, anything that happens, we're just like, oh, well, we're pretty much are now just complacent. Like, yep, okay, oh, well. That's how we'll go with that. Hey, the president's being sued by a porn star. Oh, well, okay. What's next? Hey, there was another school shooting. Ah, really? Ah, oh, well. All right. Pass the peas. It's like, it's just... What is happening with us?
How do you think we got to oh well? In the sense of, was there ever a time that where we would have cared about that? Where we would have said, oh my God, there's been a school shooting, or oh my God, can you believe this has happened with the president?
Yeah. I believe back in November of 2016. I think we would have cared. I mean, remember, everybody went nuts when Barack Obama wore a tan suit. I mean, come on. Really? But now everything else is that makes sense. Okay. I really think that collectively we just have no more hairs to pull out of our heads. I just picture the Uncle Sam is just bald right now. There's nothing. There's no whiskers. You can't pull anything else out. That's it.
So
eyebrows gone. Everything. There's not a hair left to pull out.
Now, I work in public radio. So this time, while awful and challenging, for the business has been pretty good. There's more people listening to us than ever before. People are donating more than they ever did, which is lovely. I assume it's a similar thing for you as a comedian.
You know what? It's like, okay, it's hard to do comedy on something that's already, you know, a joke, you know? It's
right.
Like, really, all you have to do is just, like, read some of his tweets. That's it. So it's hard to go, you know, so what's the spin on it? What's the joke? But people want to laugh. They need to talk about it. They need to have someone co-sign for them. Like, hey, okay, we're not the only crazy ones, right? I mean, so people want to, they want that laugh. I mean, it's good for me because my audience, they know what they're going to get when they come see me.
Right.
But it's the problem is like when you're doing shows and it's just a bunch of comics, you don't know what the audience, you know, who are they there for? You know, so you have to kind of like with most shows, you got to just figure it out. Like figure out, okay, what are they going to find funny? What do they want to talk about? But yeah, like me. But right now, honestly, you know, I would rather have a boring president than this stuff.
Well, yes, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I saw your show probably 2 years ago. I was traveling in Atlanta, and I saw you there. And you were mostly talking. This was, I guess, pre-election, and you were mostly talking about your family. Would that be if without all the Trump stuff, that's what you like to focus on is what's going on with your family?
Not necessarily what I like to focus on. It's like where do I spend most of my time? What is it that I know? What's my world right now? And the kids, you know, and my wife, they take up a large amount of my time. So not talking about them to me, it's like I would have to like go out of my way to do that. You know, it would feel like I said, you know, I need to write some jokes about you know, I don't know, baseball. It would feel like that instead of going, let me just talk about what's taking up most of my, you know, my life. So my family, they are a big part of it.
Now, in writing, and it's also an interesting, now describe it a little bit about the your family makeup. You're in an interracial marriage. You have how many children?
Mm-hmm. We have twins, a boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl.
They're nine.
And,
yep, and we're also international because my wife is French.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
That one, that just seems, that never fails to be fun, right? There's a lot there to mine, I would think.
It really is. I mean, even just the accent is hilarious to me. I mean, the things that my wife will say. You know, like the other day, she asked me if I could stop at the TD bank, and I'm like, I'm sure that's not what the name of the bank is. And I said, oh, spell it. And she goes, TD. I said, oh, TD Bank. Okay. All right. You asked me to stop at the TD Bank.
So, you know, while you're working on this show, the last big project, I guess, was Roseanne for you when you were working on that show. It's been some months now since that brouhaha. How do you look back on it now of what happened there? You were writing for the show. You were one of the writers. And how do you look back on it?
It was unfortunate what happened, you know, but I'm so happy that they found a way to bring the show back, and, you know, they kept the cast, well, except for Roseanne, but because everyone was ready to get back to work, you know. That day it happened, that was the first day for the writers to start, and actually I was emailing Bruce, the showrunner, to let him know that I wasn't going to make it the first week because I was shooting a show for Comedy Central, and then when I saw, you know, what happened, what was out there, I was like, oh well, I guess I'm not going to be making it at all. So you know, I had that conversation with them and all, and you know, it was what it was. I mean, to me, there was no other choice, you know.
Is it like to have a friend, though, somebody that you like, somebody who shares your profession, and you know how they are to work with, and then you see that, and you say, all right, well, what happened there?
Well, I know what happened, but like I said, there's no, you can't walk that back.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And you can't go, hey, you know, not really like that. It's more, you just can't justify it. It's got to go, you know what, I've had enough of this. This is ridiculous.
Does it make you aware, hyper aware even maybe, of what you write on Twitter, of what you say? I mean, not that you're ever going to say anything like that, but how people take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm always teasing with my wife. I'm like, you know, I'm just, you know, two tweets away from all of this being over. I mean, I always tease her.
You just assume that at some point it's all good.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the performer's mentality anyway, right? At any time, they're going to come in and take it all away.
They'll show you the door any minute.
What are you proud of that you're doing now? And in the sense of, because you're working with comedians, you're working with women comedians, you're obviously bringing in large LGBT audiences. In your production work, it seems that there has to be great satisfaction in what you're accomplishing as well.
Oh, absolutely! It's so cool to be able to bring in, you know, new talent, and especially people that, you know, that they aren't looking for, You know, like we, like I said, it is on a merit basis. These are people who are really funny, but they've just been overlooked. So it's great to have a company, and a company that, you know, we have a solid reputation, and it's growing, you know, that we're putting out good work. So I love working with these younger people and some older, too. I love just giving them a chance.
And when you're doing those projects, I mean, all of that's fun, but is, I've heard it described by other comedians, but when you're out on the stage and it's just you and you're performing for an audience, you can't beat that.
Oh, you can't. You can't. I mean, that feeling of just hearing people laugh, and if they're laughing because of something that you said, it just, I mean, it's powerful. It's powerful, but it does make you feel good because you're like, you know, maybe they had a crappy day, or, you know, they're just sad about something, or that maybe they're sick, you know, they'll be ill. And here you are changing their mood. You're making them feel good. Even if it's just for an hour, you're giving them something. And I just love doing that. It makes me feel good.
Wanda Sykes will be at the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston on Friday, the 26th of October at 7:30 p.m. And you can find out more by going to upac.org, upac.org. Wanda Sykes, a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much, and have a great time in Kingston.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, Wanda Sykes' comedy tour is entitled Oh Well, which you will bring to the Ulster Performing Arts Center in Kingston Friday, October 26th at 7:30. Bardavon.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.